I hope we're all recovering from the holidays. The last week and a half, 2 weeks, has been kind of bittersweet in a sense. For me personally, I got to see my daughter and new son-in-law during Christmas break, and then I had to say goodbye to them as they drove away. She didn't come home with me this time. She went home with another man and went to their home in another state, and that was hard. And then this Friday, Alicia decided to go visit her sister on her way back to Bob Jones, where she's teaching and also getting a master's. And that was hard. I said goodbye to her again, and I just don't like these goodbyes. And then this week, my son had three basketball games. You say, well, what's abnormal about that? This is the second half of his final season in high school. So I'm just kind of bummed out as I stand before you this morning. I don't like goodbyes. I don't like winding things down. I can't understand what the Whitelands are even going through right now as they see what God's doing in Lydia's life. Sometimes you ask the question, where has the time gone? You just want things to slow down and get simple again and familiar. And you want to go back to a time when decisions were made by going eeny, meeny, miny, mo, right? The simple times. You want to go back to a day when being referred to as over 20 meant that you were elderly, you know? You want to go back to a time when your abilities were discovered because of a double dog dare. You want to go back to a time when baseball cards in the spokes transformed any bike into a motorcycle. Go back to a time when taking drugs meant orange-flavored chewable aspirin. Go back to a time when nobody was prettier than mom. These are the times that we enjoyed with our kids. I don't know about you, but when I get sentimental, when I just want to see things get simple again, I just want to get around children. I want to be around, I love being around my children when they were young. I want to get around other little children and just watch them and play with them. This has been a reality with me for most of my life. As a matter of fact, I started having nephews and nieces when I was in 7th and 8th grade, and I just loved to play with them. On my side of the family, my one sister has a son and a daughter, and my other sister has three sons. Of the five children, two were born to my sisters, and three were adopted. Adoption in my family is a precious thing. Even though we have some that were born into the family and some that were adopted into the family, I marvel that the same love is spread out to all of them. The same love. Adoption is amazing. You might have heard the story of a first grade teacher who was showing a picture of a family to her students, and in this one picture, there was a little boy that had a different color hair than the rest of the people in his family in the picture. And one of the students said, that child is probably adopted. And a little girl spoke right up and said, oh, I know all about adoption. I'm adopted. And another student asked her, another first grader said, well, what does it mean to be adopted? And this little girl said, it means that I grew up in my mommy's heart instead of her tummy. I love that. Adoption is a sweet topic, and it's an old practice. As a matter of fact, most cultures in history had a practice akin to adoption. And just think about it. Moses, a slave, was adopted into royalty in Egypt. We've even unearthed archaeological tablets from the time of Abraham that revealed the nations, or that revealed the different groups at that time even, practiced a form of adoption. The Greco-Roman world practiced adoption to create new identities that replaced poorer identities. And even Rome looked for young adult males of good character that could be adopted into families and into their culture. Adoption's been around for a long time, but what's fascinating is that God adopted a nation. God adopted Israel. In Hosea 11, verse 1, we read, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. And even Paul mentions in Romans 9, verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. But it's Paul, with his pen in the New Testament, takes this word that we translate adoption, and he uses this word five times in his writings. Three times in Romans, one time in Galatians, and one time in Ephesians. And this concept of adoption is dear to his heart. This whole concept of God being our Father, and we're his children. I guess you could sum it up with these words from Galatians 3, verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. The Westminster Shorter Catechism puts it this way. We are received into the number of his children and have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. When we talk theologically about adoption, we are coming into a topic that is truly awesome for us to contemplate. And that's what I want to do as we prepare our hearts for this table for just a few more minutes. I want you to think hard about your adoption into God's family, about you being a child of the Heavenly Father by His doing. Because worship flows from theology. And as Pastor reminds us all the time, one of his favorite quotes of this table is that this is the highest act of Christian worship. I agree with J.I. Packer in his book, Knowing God, when he writes these words, if you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity and find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his Father, if this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means he does not understand Christianity very well. For everything that Christ taught, everything that makes the New Testament new and better than the old, everything that is distinctively Christian is summed up in the knowledge of the fatherhood of God the Father. End quote. Never take for granted your adoption into the family of God. And as you prepare for this table, as you prepare to receive these symbols, I want you to be gripped quickly by five brief blessings of your adoption. Number one, when I meditate on the fact that I am adopted by God, here's a blessing. I find complete acceptance in my Father's heart. I find complete acceptance in my Father's heart. You know the name Oprah? Oprah made this statement in the past. I discovered I didn't feel worth a expletive and certainly not worthy of love unless I was accomplishing something, end quote. Many of you know the pop name Madonna. Madonna wrote these words, my drive in life is from this horrible fear of being mediocre. That's always been pushing me and pushing me. Because even though I've become somebody, I still have to prove that I'm somebody. My struggle has never ended, and it probably never will, end quote. Can you hear the emptiness there? Can you feel the yearning to be accepted? And this emptiness that they represent, Oprah and Madonna, in these words, it's one that will never be satisfied. They'll never be good enough. But we have Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Did you catch that? Your adoption, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, your adoption was his idea. It has to do with his pleasure. It comes down to his glory, and the end result is this: you enjoy being accepted in the beloved. If we kept reading in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 3, we read that we were at one time children of wrath. But but God adopted you. And you find complete acceptance in your Father's heart. Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. How many of you have stood at the end of a hike to a waterfall at a camp, as I have at the Wilds, and after a long hike in the sun and grueling climbs, you get into the water, and the water just beats down on you from this waterfall from 20, 30 feet up, and it just beats down on you and overwhelms you. And I would suggest that you have there a refreshing picture of the love that you receive every moment from your Father. You are fully accepted in His heart. You say, that's awesome. But how long does it last? Is God fickle with His love? Does He change in His acceptance of you once He's adopted you? And the answer is no, because the second blessing of your adoption is this: I find total security in my Father's hand. I find total security in my Father's hand. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. As we continue to look at Paul's brushstrokes. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. It's interesting, in that Roman culture, you needed 7 reputable witnesses to be present at an adoption to make sure it was legally binding. But we have something much better than that. We have the Holy Spirit Himself that bears witness that we are the children of God. Verse 16. And Paul will add in Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14, that this same Spirit that bears witness is also given to us as a seal and as a guarantee, a down payment, that this adoption is a done deal. It can never be undone. You will never be unsunned. The story is told of a monastery in Portugal perched high on a 3,000-foot cliff. And the only way for visitors to get to that monastery is by a terrifying ride in a swaying basket. And the basket is pulled with a single rope by several strong men who are sweating under the strain of a fully loaded basket. One American tourist who visited the site got nervous. Halfway up the climb, he noticed that the rope was old and frayed. And he was just trying to put his fears at ease, and he asked the nearest monk that was in charge in this basket, he said, how often do you change the rope? And the monk said, whenever it breaks. Let me tell you something. The affections of your Father, your Heavenly Father towards you, will never break. At the end of this chapter, Romans 8, 38 and 39, look at it. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I find total security in my Father's hand. You say, great. But does this amount to just having a relationship that's marking time? I mean, are we just enjoying our sonship as we kind of go through our days doing our thing? That's much more than that. The third blessing of your adoption is this: I find bottomless resources in my Father's supply. Bottomless resources. I mean, I just think of my earthly father who died in 1989, but a businessman in the Detroit area, and he... When I think of him, I think of one of the most giving men I ever met. He would give me all that he believed I needed and so much more. Not just to me, but to my siblings and my mom and even our family friends. But what a picture my father is, a pale picture, a faint picture of the enormity of my Heavenly Father's graciousness. My Heavenly Father's love and equipping. You say, well, what does our Heavenly Father give to us? What are the resources that we have with our Heavenly Father? I mean, where do we start answering that? I mean, even Paul scratches his head in Philippians 4:19 and says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You can't measure his resources. But for starters, I would like to suggest a few to you. As you marvel at your adoption and prepare for the Lord's table, you understand as a son of God, as an adopted child of God, you have direction for your life that you didn't have before. You understand that? Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And that's not just a genie in your pocket that helps you with the hard decisions. That's not what it's talking about there. To be led by the Spirit is to be led on a trajectory of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ every single day of your life. You have a reason to get up every morning. That's a resource that your Father gives you, direction for your life. He gives you comfort in your valleys. Again, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. You, as an adopted child, have more resources than you realize. You have your needs are fully met. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, in talking about his Father and our Father, says, your Father knows that you have need of all these things, food and clothing. But as a loving Heavenly Father, we also have correction when we stray. Hebrews 12 says, those whom he receives as sons, he disciplines out of love so that they will share in his holiness. And that's just getting started. I find bottomless resources in my Father's supply. Now, perhaps you're here this morning and you're outside of Christ. You've never repented of your sin and placed your faith in Jesus Christ. Listen. Everything that you will find in Christ is everything you're looking for every single day of the week. And you've come up empty still. You want direction for your life. You want comfort in your valleys. You want your necessary needs met. You want correction when you stray. And we as a family of God say, come into the family then. Your God is pursuing you to be reconciled with you, and you're going to love your new father. You say, well, is adoption all about getting? No, it's about giving too. And this is the fourth blessing of your adoption. Here it is. I find clear duties in my Father's family. I find clear duties in my Father's family. I mean, how many of us at times have heard or even said in the context of our homes, look, if you're going to live in this house and carry my last name, ba-boom, boom, boom, right? You know, that's fair. I mean, someone's got to be in charge of the home, right? And every home has a culture. So does ours. So does the family of God living under our Heavenly Father. We are on a mission to promote our family, if you will. We have the assignment of projecting our family's values. What do you mean by that? Again, Paul says in Ephesians 4, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love. When people look at us, they need to understand that our Father is a Father of love. You want to see what our Father's love is like? Watch us. We project the family values, but we also have another assignment. We protect the family name. Again, our Lord said in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Your Father in heaven. I find clear duties in my Father's family. You say, well, this is a life of duty, a life of delighting and treasuring in a father. Yes. You say, is it worth it for real? And the answer is yes. And that's the final blessing of your adoption. I want to bring to your attention before we come to this table. This final blessing, I word this way. I find confident hope in my Father's promises. You might have heard the story of a little boy in an elevator with his father in the Empire State Building in New York City. And they started going up in this elevator, and the little boy watched the numbers go from 10 to 20 to 30 to 60 to 70. And they kept going, and the little boy got nervous, and he finally took his daddy's hand and said, "Daddy, does God know we're coming?" Yes, he does. Yes, he does. God knows you're coming home soon. You're his child. In Romans 8, look at verse 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Watch this. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may be glorified with him. Look at verse 23. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. I remember when my the second nephew was adopted by my sister. His name's Daniel. He's a businessman now in South Carolina. But I remember we were at the house visiting over Thanksgiving or Easter, one of those two holidays, when my sister and her husband got the news that the adoption went through. It was a done deal. Daniel was theirs. And we just rejoiced in that news. And as much as we rejoiced then, we rejoiced even more when they brought Daniel home, when he came into the house. This takes my mind to 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All the promises we have in God will be fulfilled when we as his children go home. Everyone in this room knows the name D.L. Moody. A few hours before D.L. Moody died, he caught a glimpse of the glory awaiting him. Awakening from his sleep, he said these words, "Earth recedes, heaven opens before me. If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me, and I must go." And right then, his son interrupted him and said, "No, Father, you are dreaming." And Mr. Moody replied, "No, I'm not dreaming. I have been within the gates. I have seen the children's faces." And a short time elapsed, and then following what seemed to the family to be the death struggle, D.L. spoke his final words, "This is my triumph. This, my coronation day, it is glorious." We come to this table yet again as a church family right now. And I can't think of a better truth for us to consider as we participate in these symbols. I can't think of a better truth than your adoption. Because remember, worship flows from theology. As you think of your adoption, as you pray through it, remember, you find complete acceptance in your Father's heart. You find total security in your Father's hand. You find bottomless resources in your Father's supply. You find clear duties in your Father's family. And you find confident hope in your Father's promises. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your loving adoption of us into your family. Lord, we read in John 1, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the authority, the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name." And as we come to this table, we realize, we see afresh what our adoption cost. And we're overcome. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.